That's our own Elizabeth. We watched Elizabeth grow up from a little child to a young woman and go off to Mexico as a missionary, meet a Mexican pastor over there, get married to him, and stay. So now we get to hear her once or twice a year. All right. Every 10 years. All right. All right, Matthew chapter 14, please. Let's turn there this morning and look at verse 22 with me. Matthew chapter 14, very familiar part of Scripture, but let's see what the Lord has for us today. Matthew chapter 14, I'll begin reading in verse 22. You could follow with me in your Bible, please. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great love and mercy and grace. We thank you for loving us and being so kind and merciful to us. Lord, we just today want to say thank you. We want to give you our praise. And Lord, we ask that as we now look into the Word of God, that by your Holy Spirit, you'd open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person in this place and watching and listening, to open their hearts to the Word of God and allow it to do its work in our hearts. I pray you'd work in us so that you can work through us. And I pray, my Father, that you might find receptive vessels for you to use this morning. We ask that, my Father, you'd glorify yourself, magnify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scripture is clear that the life of the Christian is to be a life of faith. Romans 1:17 says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, For we walk by faith, not by sight. Indeed, we are reminded in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, it's much easier, or should I say more comfortable, for the flesh to walk by sight than to walk by faith. When we're walking in a hallway and the lights are on, we have a certain gait, a certain confidence, a certain speed at which we progress. But if those lights suddenly go out, instantly, we begin walking more slowly, more deliberately, and more cautiously than we did in the light, even though we know there's nothing of danger in front of us. Somehow, it seems that things change in the dark. I know when I was a little kid, things changed in the dark. I'd go to bed and my parents would come up and turn the light off. And I just knew there was something under my bed. It wasn't there when the lights were on, but it was there when the lights were off. So we just think things change in the dark. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. John 1:5 says, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." That's saying that men loved the darkness of the world more than they liked the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 8:12, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Since the fall of Adam, planet Earth has been encased in the darkness of man's sinful rebellion. And mankind, in its search for relevance without God, has declared itself enlightened by its own brand of wisdom and its own veins of philosophy. And man mistakes the discoveries of God's creation, even though many of those discoveries, if not most of them, are made by accident. Man mistakes those discoveries as a badge of his own greatness and the power of his own probing intellect. We've lived in the dark for so long that we mistake our man-made, earthbound wisdom for light. And even we go so far in the world as to call the true light, God and His Word, obsolete, archaic, and backward. However, the born-again Christian has the unique opportunity and privilege of walking in the light. Now, before we were saved, we were in the darkness. And even that which we thought was light is really darkness. But when we got saved, now we're able to walk in the light. Psalm 119 and 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What a wonderful picture that is. That as we walk through the darkness of this world, we have a flashlight, if you will, that shines before us to show us the way, to help us not to stumble over things we wouldn't see in the darkness of this world. In Psalm 119, 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." 2 Peter 1:19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." You understand, my dear friends? The Word of God is a light that shines in a dark place. Where? The darkness of this world. And it's hard for us to see the darkness of this world because look outside. You see it? There's so much of this world that seems to be light, but in comparison to the true light, it's darkness. And we can only see the darkness of this world and the light of God by faith. Walking by faith is walking in the light of God's Word. Seeing things that cannot be seen by natural sight, but only by spiritual understanding or sight. When we're living our lives in the wisdom of this world and its philosophies, we are, in fact, walking in the light of this world, which is actually darkness. The Lord Jesus put it this way in Luke 11:35. "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness." What's he saying? Be careful that the wisdom that's in you isn't the wisdom of the world. Be careful that the philosophies that are in you are not the philosophies of the world, because their wisdom and their philosophies and their ways of understanding are light to them. And if that light is your light, how dark is your darkness? To the world, the things of faith seem like darkness because they cannot see it, because it's spiritual. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The believer is asked to walk by faith in the light of God's Word, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just as there is light that in the physical world that cannot be seen by the naked eye, There is spiritual light that can only be seen by the spiritual eye of faith. It's the light of God. It's the light of His Word. And if we're going to walk by faith, then it will be necessary for us to overcome our natural inclination to walk by sight. You following me? We have a natural inclination to walk by sight. And as we're walking by sight, we're listening to the wisdom and philosophies of the world, thinking that's light, when in reality, God calls it darkness. So if we're going to walk by faith, we've got to walk in the light of His Word. And it will be necessary for us to overcome our inclination to live our lives and make our decisions based upon the darkness of this world's understanding, which is passed off as light. I hope you're with me so far. Now, if we're going to live by faith, a life that pleases God, we're going to have to do a couple things. And the first one I find right here in verse 14 is we need to step out. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 14, verse 29. We have to step out. And he said, that's Jesus said to Peter, he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Stepping out by faith requires us to step out of our human comfort zone. Look at the disciples' situation here. In verse 24, they were in peril of capsizing. A storm has come upon them in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and they are being rocked to and fro. Mark records that they are toiling in the rowing. They're doing everything they can to keep their little boat afloat. In verse 25, they are in the darkness. They are, at this time, it is between 3 and 6 o'clock a.m. They're in the dark. I've always said that they were frantic, in a panic, and sinking like the Titanic. In verse 26, they were troubled and they were afraid. In verse 28, they even had a little doubt. Look at Peter. He's saying to the Lord, he's trying to figure this thing out, and he looks out and he says, if it be thou, Lord. See the little bit of doubt there? He's not even sure it's Jesus. And the Lord Jesus requires faith of Peter. The Lord Jesus, you know, when Peter said, if it be thou, bid me come on the water, Jesus could have said, that's all right. I'll come on the boat. But Jesus said, come. He's asking faith of Peter, isn't he? I don't know about you, that's a whole lot of faith. I think for Peter, the little boat just became his comfort zone. What do you think? You see, when Jesus wasn't there, Peter, they're hanging on to the side of the boat, and they are, you know, they want to get out of this boat. They want to be safe. They want to be somewhere. This boat's going down. But now Jesus is there saying, okay, step out of the boat. No, I want to stay in this boat. He wanted to get out of the boat, now he wouldn't stay in the boat. As shaky as things were in the little boat, they were more comfortable than stepping out onto the waves. If we're going to walk by faith, we must be willing to step out of our little boats and walk with the Lord. And stepping out by faith will require us to step out of our comfort zones, whatever they may be. For most of us, our comfort zones consist of things we can see. Physical things. Things that we assume will keep us afloat. Comfort zones of security or normalcy or routine or ritual. Maybe it's the security of income or the security of position. You know, our comfort zone is that which we hold on to ever so tightly of this world, no matter how rickety they may be. The worldly wisdom that is comfortable to the flesh. Our comfort zone may be our personal experience or our expertise. Like the disciples, you remember they were expert fishermen. Remember when they were fishing and they fished all night and couldn't find anything? And Jesus came along and said, cast your net on the other side. And they said, Lord, we've fished all night. We've used all our expertise, all our experience. We know what we're doing. But nevertheless, it's thy word. See? And they cast their net, and what happened? If they'd have went by their own experience, they'd have never gone the other side of the ship. Sometimes we think we're so smart, we're so experienced, we're so accomplished, and that's our comfort zone. And we don't want to step out of it. It may be our profession. It may be our personal attributes that cause us to have a comfort zone. Listen, I was a young entrepreneur. I had a little music store. I majored in bookkeeping at Clarion State. I knew nothing of living by faith. I had a speech impediment. I got my THs and my S's all confused. That's how I talk all the time. I just talk like this. How's that for a guy that's supposed to preach the King James Bible? My comfort zone was not to preach. My comfort zone was not to go into the ministry. In order to go into the ministry, you have to step out of your comfort zone. In order to walk by faith, you have to step out of your comfort zone. Those little insular places we put ourselves, those things that we insulate ourselves from, the things that challenge us. Faith is always challenging. Peter was willing, by faith, to step out from the deceiving safety of his little boat into the complete safety and watch care of the Lord Jesus. If Jesus is asking you to step out, you can step out. Because actually, if you think it's safe where you're at, and Jesus is calling you to step out, you're going to be more unsafe where you think it's safe than if you'd step out where you think it's not safe and it'll be safe. It is only by stepping out by faith that the believer can experience and accomplish things otherwise impossible. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, the Lord Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Hey, men can't walk on water. It's impossible. But Jesus said, what's impossible with men is possible with God. Peter couldn't walk on the water because of his own attributes, but he could walk on the water because he was obeying the voice of God and trusting the promise of Jesus and the call. Come on out here. You'll never know the impossible while you continue to walk in the dark light of this world's wisdom and understanding. If we're going to live by faith, a life that pleases God, we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone. But number two, turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. We're going to have to step in. You see, there's a stepping out, but there's also a stepping in. Numbers chapter 14, look at verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now, just as difficult as stepping out for the fleshly nature is stepping in. What do I mean by stepping in? Well, here the children of Israel are reluctant to enter into the promised land by faith because they saw some obstacles. What were the obstacles? Giants and walled cities and enemies. Moments of decision come to believers. Moments when they stand on the edge of God's will for their lives. Moments when they must, by faith, step into the promised land or turn back to the comfort of things they have seen and known. Did you follow that? In Egypt, the promised land looked so appealing, didn't it? Hey, get us out of here. Hey, they were shouting and they were having a great time. The promised land. Yes, sir, we're headed for the promised land. How do they think about the promised land now that they're on the edge of it? Look at chapter 14, verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" They were standing on the edge of God's perfect will for their lives. The place that God wanted them to go. The place that God prepared for them. The place that they should enter into, but they could only do it by faith. There were obstacles. But they couldn't step in. They'd stepped out of Egypt, but they couldn't step into God's will. So now they want to go back to Egypt. Just like that little rickety boat all of a sudden seemed pretty comfortable when he was asked to step out onto the water, Egypt looks pretty comfortable when I'm asked to step into the promised land. I don't know what's in there. It's the unknown. When you step out, you have to step in. And when you step into the will of God, there's a whole lot of unknown. I've heard preachers say, if I'd have known what the ministry was like, I'd have never volunteered. I don't feel that way by the... Well, sometimes. I found that having a vision or having a dream, and even plodding toward those visions and dreams, is often easier than the final step in to the vision or the dream. You understand? Well, I'm going toward it. There's motivation. Now I'm on the edge of it. Do I really want to do this? I don't know what's going to happen in there. I mean, there's giants in there, and there's walled cities and such. God brings us to the very precipice of the fulfillment of his perfect will, and we're afraid to step in. We balk. We give it second thoughts. We look back to see what we'll be giving up if we step in. Yeah, what are they giving up? Slavery in Egypt. For what? The promised land. God's blessings. They couldn't do it. They couldn't step in. The children of Israel were singing and shouting while leaving Egypt, but now are found on the brink of the promised land and are murmuring, crying, weeping, and they want to turn back. Look at what Joshua and Caleb say in chapter 14, verse 7. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Sure. There are giants in the land. Sure, it's going to be difficult, but the Lord's with us. Sure, it's going to take faith, but the just are supposed to live by faith. Joshua and Caleb saying, come on, I'll step in, step in. Living by faith will require that we from time to time step out of our comfort zones and step into the unknown. Or you can live by sight and just be comfortable. But that doesn't please God. What pleases God? Faith. Joshua and Caleb did not know what would happen when they stepped into the promised land. They only knew it was God's will that they step into the promised land. So that's all you need to know, my friend. You don't need to know the where's and wherefores and the what ifs and the what all happens. You don't need to know. If you just need to know God's word and God's will. That's all Joshua and Caleb knew. God does not ask us to willy-nilly run around jumping off cliffs and running in front of trains to prove our faith. He'd given the children of Israel a promise, didn't he? And he'd given Peter a command. Walking by faith will require you to step out of your comfort zone and step into the unknown. But in order for us to step out, in order for us to step in, I believe we have to first step up. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. That very familiar verse, number 8. It says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord." I heard what? The voice of the Lord. Saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I. Send me." This may seem simple, but it's difficult. Of all the people who are born again Christians, how many really say, "Here am I. Send me"? He didn't even know what he was really getting involved in. Really? But that didn't matter. How many times have you seen the need, but you never stepped up because you were afraid to step out? How many times have you seen the opportunity, but you never stepped in because you never stepped up? You can't hit the ball till you step up to the plate. If you're afraid to strike out, you'll never hit a home run. You got to step up before you can step out, before you can step in. As Christians, we all need to step up our game, as they say. Don't you think? All of us? Yes. Isaiah had to step up and believe God. Isaiah had to step up and trust God. He had no idea what would entail. He did not ask for a job description. He did not make any contingencies. And he did not place any limits. He just said, "Is there a job that needs to be done? I'm here. How about me? Can I do it?" "Well, don't you want to know what it is?" "No. I don't need to know what it is. God needs me. I'm available." He had to step up and then he had to do. You see, it's in the doing that faith is revealed, isn't it? You can say you're going to step out, but if you never step out, where's your faith? You can say you're going to step in. I mean, the children of Israel said they were going to step in for 40 years. Not 40 years, but for the time they had to get from Egypt to the promised land, they were going to step in. "We're going to step in. We're going to step in. We're going to step in." Step in not. The faith is in the doing. Wasn't it Abraham's doing that proved his faith? You do not win a contest by talking, but by doing. You do not accomplish a task by talking, but by doing. Don't tell me what you plan on doing. Come and tell me what you did. The king of Israel once put it this way in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 11. "And the king of Israel answered and said, 'Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off.'" You understand the import of that verse? See, when you're putting your harness on, you're getting ready to go to battle. When you're taking your harness off, it's because you've come back from battle. And he said, the guy that's putting on his harness shouldn't be boasting about, yeah, well, wait till they get a load of me. Wait till I get down there. Man, they ain't seen nothing yet. He's talking, he said, that don't be doing that. He said, you know what to do? He said, I want to hear you when you're coming back and taking your harness off and say, man, we won the victory. Anybody can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But it really matters, what you really do. When faced with stepping out, we need to remember the character of our Lord. When the disciples were tossed to and fro on the sea, the Bible says that Jesus was up on a mountain praying. It was between 3 and 6 a.m. They were 3 miles out. They were in the middle of the lake, which is 3 miles. It was darkness of night and the midst of a tempest. And you know what the Bible says in Mark? It says about Jesus, he saw them toiling in the rowing. You know what that says? He cares. Think about it. He's praying and checking on his disciples. He's praying and checking on his disciples. He can see disciples where nobody else can see them. He can see them 3 miles out in the dark in the storm. He never had them out of his sight. You see, God cares. If you'll step up and believe God and trust God, and then you'll step out of your comfort zone, and you're willing to step into the unknown of his will for your life, he cares. He's watching. The second thing it says in Matthew, it says, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Not only does he care, but he comes. When you're in trouble, he comes. When you have a need, he comes. And number 3, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 32, it says that when Jesus and Peter were back in the boat, the wind ceased. He calms. Don't allow the storm to determine what you think. Trust God. He cares. He comes. He calms. When the children of Israel... When we're faced with stepping in, we need to remember not only the character of our Lord, but the comportment of our Lord, or the methodology of our Lord. When the children of Israel were to go into the promised land, you know what he said? Exodus 23, 29, he says, I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. But little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Just as Jesus is in control of the storms, he's in control of the enemies. Did you hear that? What was Israel afraid of? The enemies. He said, I'll take care of the enemies. Don't worry about it. Well, Lord, are you going to drive them all out at once? No. Why not? You can't handle the land. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move out. I'm going to move them out just a little bit till you get in there and can handle that little bit. And then I'll move them out some more and you can handle that. And then I'll move them out some more. I found out that's how God does things most of the time. Little by little. Because he knows we can't handle big by big. He does not want you to be overcome. He wants you to be an overcomer. He's not asking you to step out of the boat so you can drown. He's asking you to step out of the boat so you can walk on the water. He's not asking you to step into the promised land so you can get beat up. He's asking you to step in the promised land so you can have the victory. But where are we? We're afraid to step up. We're going to stay back here. And we'll never know the impossible. Because we can always do what's possible with men. Only God can do what's impossible with men. Faith takes us into the realm of the impossible. Isaiah stepped up saying, here am I. He stepped out saying, send me. And he stepped in by getting busy and doing what God wanted him to do. You need to step up by believing God. Step out by trusting God. And step in by relying on God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask those of you that are saved, you're born again. Is your comfort zone keeping you from stepping out? You know, in your heart, God's asking you to do something. He's leading you to do something. And it's just so hard to get out of that little boat, isn't it? Because there's waves and things that frighten you. But you know that's what God wants you to do. Why don't you step out? Maybe this morning there's some Christians right here in this room that say, "Preacher, there's something in my life that God's dealing with me about. I just need to step out of the boat and trust Him." Anybody like that here today? Put your hand up. Yes, thank you. All right, thank you. Maybe there's some here today. You're right on the edge. Thank you. Put those hands down. You're right on the edge. And God's saying, "I want you to step in. I want you, this is what I have for you. Don't be afraid of the enemies. Don't be afraid of the obstacles. Don't be afraid that it'll overwhelm you. I won't let it. Just trust me. Step in." Maybe there's something, right? Some people in this room today say, "I know there's something specific that God wants me to step into. And I've been hedging. I've been balking. I've been having second thoughts. But by the grace of God, I want to step in." Anybody like that here today, put your hand up and say, "That's me." All right, thank you. Put them down. And then lastly, maybe there's some Christians here today that say, "You know what? I need to just step up. I need to step up. I need to step up to the plate. I need to get off the pew, get on my feet. I need to be a doer." All right, I saw some hands go up already. All right, there's some others. "I got to quit making excuses. I got to quit him-hawing." All right, hands are still going up. "I just need to step up. Trust God." All right, thank you. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You don't know for sure you're going to heaven. But just as it takes faith to live for God, it takes faith to be saved and forgiven by God. "For by grace are you saved," the Bible says. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not what you can do or what you can be or what you can bring to the table. Salvation's all about God. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The only one who can calm the storms of your life and take you safely to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who can control your enemies and take you to the promised land is the Lord Jesus Christ. But He wants you to believe Him and receive Him as your Savior today. Do you know that right where you are in your own seat, in the privacy of your own heart and your own mind, you can be saved, you can trust Christ as your Savior and have your sins forgiven and receive the gift of eternal life? You say, "Preacher, I know that I'm not saved and I know that I need to be saved, and I would like to receive the gift of eternal life by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus as my Savior right here, right now. If that's your desire, I want you to look up at me." Nobody else is looking up, just you. And by looking up, when I see you, I recognize that you want to trust Christ as your Savior. Today, you want to call on Him and ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul right where you sit. Anybody like that here this morning? Just look up so I can see you. Just you and me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the grace that You have sent our way, that You would save us as undeserving as we are, and that You loved us as unlovable as we are. And Father, we thank You that there's no one who's done anything so bad that You can't forgive their sins and save them if they'll trust Christ as their Savior. I pray if there's anybody like that in this room or watching or listening, that my Father, today would be the day that they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I pray for every Christian that raised their hands here today and others who might not have, that they might come. Now that they've raised their hand, they might come and bow their knee and bow their heart and talk to You about whatever it is that they know You're talking to them about. Help us, Father. We've only got this one little life we're going to live on earth. may it count for you. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 467. I need thee every hour. Oh my, how we need the Lord. Peter needed him to walk on the water. Israel needed him to take over the promised land. Isaiah needed him to do his ministry. You need him. Why don't you come? And by coming and praying, you can talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to step out. Or Lord, I need to step in. Or Lord, I just need to step up. I haven't been in the game. I haven't been on the line. I've been hanging out in the comfort zone. I'm afraid of the unknown. Trust him with it. We're going to sing that first stanza, 467. If you have any questions about going to heaven, you come and see me right here, would you please?